Colossians 1, verses 26 to 27. Now, these are in the Passion Translation. I might ask you to turn and join me in your Bibles with the Passion Translation, but it's probably not going to line up super close with your translation. You might want to just follow along on the screen. But this is Colossians 1, 26 and 27, if you're writing in your notes. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that's been concealed from the world for generations, and now it's being revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it. You know, one of the things that I get sometimes as I read in the Passion Translation, there's kind of one gentleman, his name escapes me right now, but he kind of headed up the team of translators. I think he had a lot of fun writing this translation. Did you guys ever get that expectation that, or that sense that he just enjoyed being creative with the English language and enjoyed drawing out the fullness of God's word? And I really enjoy verse 27. Living within you is Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. And this mystery of Christ becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for God's people. And God wants everyone to know it. Verse 28, Christ is our message. We preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into the full understanding of truth. It's become my inspiration and passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity, with his power flowing through me to present to every believer the revelation of being his perfect one in Jesus Christ. And so I titled my message today, We Preach to Awaken Hearts. We Preach to Awaken Hearts. Have you guys ever discovered something in life? And I don't have a specific example, but maybe it's a new way of doing something, or maybe it's a deal at one of the local stores, and it's like it seems almost too good to be true, but there's lots of inventory, and so you're okay telling your friends so they can go check it out. And there's like a sense of excitement in like getting on the phone or texting someone. I had that once. Strange story, but the co-op used to carry gun ammunition, right? And they had a kind of a cabinet there. But one day I came through and they were getting, I think in preparation for all the renovations, they're clearing out of their gun ammunition. And a box of shotgun shells might, you know, depending on what you're getting, be anywhere from, you know, $10 to $20 and up. Well, all their ammunition, including their shotgun shells, was like, I think it was greater than 50% off. They were just blowing it out. Well, I texted my friend Andrew and said, did you know the shotgun ammunition? And, you know, I expected him to go buy a few boxes. Well, he was so excited about it, he bombs down to co-op, and he buys every single box of shotgun ammunition they have left. And he sends me a picture of this cab of his truck, and it's just, like, loaded up, this big heap. I'm like, seriously, you bought it all? And he's like, it was a great deal. I couldn't help myself. But that was, you know, not only did that bring him joy, but it brought me joy as well, because I'm like, it was neat that I thought, well, hey, this might interest him. And, yeah, it really did. And, you know, it's satisfying to tell someone some good news, and it's especially satisfying when they act on it, when they do something about it, right? It's like, wow, I helped out. I was able to do a good thing here. And that's kind of the sense that Paul is talking about in these verses in Colossians. He's talking about the mystery we have inside. And it's like, it's a treasure chest full of hope. And we have the honor and the privilege to awaken hearts and let people know this is too good to be true. You got to check this out. There's something that you don't know that God wants you to experience. And so I think that's kind of the mentality that Paul has in mind when he's writing those verses. And I think you can feel the excitement as he thinks about that mystery. The thing about the example that I gave you with my friend Andrew is that once Andrew took advantage of it, no one else could, right? Like, he bought all the ammo. I couldn't text Chris or someone else, and or my friend Paul and say, you know, because, like, Andrew took it all. And that's another amazing thing about the mystery we have in Christ, is that there's no, like, this is not a limited time offer. There's, like, no limited quantities, you know. There's no hoops that you have to jump through to take advantage of it. The message of Christ is for everyone. It's open and available to everyone. And so that's where we're going to be talking about sharing Jesus with people. We're going to be talking about evangelism and just awakening hearts of the people around us, the good news of the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, and what God has shown us and revealed to us. One of the things that can happen in church life sometimes is that, we're learning here all the time. We're applying the principles of God's word. And so myself preaching and sharing the word. It might be my dad, Pastor Ray, or maybe even coming to the build-up meetings like we had over the last 5 weeks, or in connect groups, or ladies' Bible study, or at youth. But we're hearing the word, and we're applying it. But oftentimes, when we're hearing the word, and we're learning about the principles of God, or maybe we're listening to videos, or preaching or teaching on YouTube, or podcasts, or whatever, you know, we're hearing these things, and we're applying them to ourselves, but we're building ourselves up. We're strengthening our faith. We're growing closer in our walk with the Lord. We're learning how to walk in love and be more open-hearted. But, you know, there is an opportunity to become kind of self-focused, and almost like it's like a spiritual self-improvement thing. And we can get, if we're not careful, we can get really wrapped up in that and lose sight of the fact that the gospel is not just for us, it's for the world around us. And God wants us to grow and get stirred up, not just so that we can get healed, healthy, and whole, and live the blessed life, and not just for our family, not even just for our close friends, but the message is for everyone, right? And so we want to remind ourselves of that, that God is sending us to awaken hearts. When Paul wrote this verse, that verse, and I know I'm reading from the Passion Translation, so those weren't the exact words he used, but all the translations, it's plural. We preach to awaken hearts. So Paul's not just talking about himself or, you know, his traveling missionary partner at the time. He's talking about believers in general. He's talking about Christ followers. We preach to awaken hearts. It's part of what we do. Now, for some of you, that might mean preaching. You know, when I was growing up, I never really had an aspiration to be a pastor or be up here preaching, but the Lord changed my heart and made me open to that. For some of you, that might be you, that you have a call to preach and teach. But it might be that you just do it in your 9-to-5 job. You might just do it in your interactions with family members, with people in your community, friends, people that you engage with when you're doing hobbies, when you're out hunting, fishing, boating. I just pick all the things that I like to do. When you're doing like what you want to do, whatever that is, right? Those are the examples that just come to my mind. I'm sorry, but you're with me on that, right? But whatever it is that we're doing, we're going to have an opportunity to awaken hearts. We're going to have opportunities, if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to share the love of God with people. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they'll live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. And so Paul's reminding us that when we come to Christ, we're not called to live for ourselves. We have a greater cause. We're part of the Great Commission. There's a call in our lives to preach to people, to open up the mystery of the gospel to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not living for ourselves. It's living for the world around us. You have a message to share. 2 Corinthians 5:18, so moving ahead 3 verses. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. Pay attention. Here's your job description as a believer right here. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. You know, sometimes we're praying or we're bleeding, and that's awesome. But sometimes we need to understand that God makes his appeal through us. You know, we can be praying and believing for someone to hear the good news of the gospel, and sometimes be totally unaware that God wants to use us to go and tell them the good news of the gospel, or share an act of love, or do something that would bless them and have them be aware of the kindness and the goodness of God. And so the Holy Spirit is absolutely involved. The Holy Spirit brings people to realization of their brokenness, that they have a sin nature, that they need God. So he's involved in convicting people of their sins. But God uses us to speak to people and to talk to them. He makes his appeal through us. And it's a matter of life and death, isn't it? It is a matter of life and death, because people who are lost, we know that they're going to eternity, and they are not, because they don't have a right relationship with Jesus, they're going to experience that break in that relationship and the torments of hell for all eternity. We believe there's a heaven and a hell at Solid Rock Church.
Yes, we do.
Do you know some churches no longer believe that there's a hell, that there's only a heaven? You know? And that, you know, when we, you know, if you don't know Jesus, you know, I just, you're going to some heavenly holding tank or something like that. Maybe you won't get to heaven, but you won't really experience hell. Well, we believe that Scripture is very clear that there's a place of torment. There's a place of anguish. Now, I personally believe, and I believe that the Bible tells us, that that's not how you bring someone to Christ, is by saying, do you know you're going to hell? Because that's not the good news. No one wants to know that. I mean, no one wants to be like shoved down their throat that you're going to hell. So the good news is, do you know that you don't have to go to hell? That there's a heavenly place prepared for you, and Jesus made the way to make it possible. That's the good news, right? So it's the same message. It's just shared in a different way. But there is a heaven and there is a hell. And so it's a life or death thing. The people around us that God places in our paths, they need to know that there's a heaven and a hell, and they need to know that we have a message of reconciliation between God and man, and they don't have to experience the fiery burners, future and eternity in hell, but they can experience a blessed future with Jesus in heaven. So Jesus is the one who saves. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts the world of guilt. But we're the ones who go. We're the ones who share the message. We're the ones who have the privilege and the honor of taking that message to the world around us and awakening hearts. Now you might be thinking, well, okay, Pastor Cam's talking about evangelism, but that's not really what I feel called to. It's not really, you know, I just don't really, it's out of my comfort zone to talk to people and kind of share my faith. But one of the things that was a good reminder for me, and I think those of us who took part of the build-up classes, is we were reminded that our adversary, our enemy, Satan, he works in the area of the mind and in thoughts and feelings, right? So if there's any indication that we're going to yield to those kind of thoughts, that, oh, it's not really for me, you know, I would just rather be, you know, my ministry for the Lord will be, you know, serving at the post, or being on the worship team, or being part of the prayer team, or, you know, those are all wonderful things, but our ministry needs to extend much past these doors, right? The ministry and the work that we do in the kingdom should be much more of it, honestly, should be happening from, you know, when we leave here at Sunday at 12 o'clock and throughout the weekdays. That's when the real ministry happens. That's when the real ministry takes place. It is for all of us. And here's the thing, because the enemy works in the mind with thoughts and feelings. If we're going to wait till we feel like it, he'll make sure that we never feel like it, right? He'll put some thoughts and feelings in, and we won't ever feel like it. At some point in time, if we're going to answer the call that God's given us to be those ones that make that appeal and carry that message of reconciliation, you know, we have a saying, you pick yourselves up by your bootstraps, right? You've got to pick yourself up and make that choice. I'm going to do this because Christ is asking me to do this. And it's important. The message that I have is important. So I'm going to do it. That's how it happens. Ephesians 4:1, this is Paul writing again. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. So Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus and saying, I beg you, I implore you, lead a life worthy of your calling, but you have been called. That question needs to be settled for all believers. Romans 5:10 says, When we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we've all been called to this ministry of reconciliation. Now that's kind of not a word that we would use all the time. What is reconciliation? It's just a bringing back together again. And we often mostly use it in the context of former adversaries or former people that were apart from each other and that didn't have relationship. They've been reconciled, right? So, you know, a child can be reconciled to a parent, or brothers can be reconciled to each other, or nations can be reconciled to each other. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that this can work, but it refers to former adversaries or people that were at one time against each other and believed that they were against each other and not for each other, coming together and being friends, being companions, walking together, walking in agreement, walking in alignment. There are many people all over this world that don't know they are no longer the enemies of God. They've been reconciled and they don't even know it. They believe that God is still mad at them, that he's angry at them, and you know, because they have a conscience and they have God's moral law in their hearts, so they have a conscience, so they know that they've done wrong, they know they haven't lived up to God's standard, But then the enemy brings guilt and condemnation, and that's what they're feeling. And they believe that God's angry at them, that he hasn't, that they haven't been restored, that they haven't been reconciled. Now, they're not thinking of the word reconciliation. They're just thinking, God doesn't like me. He doesn't want to have anything to do with me. And they don't, may not even be like being around you and I, God's people, because they can sense the holiness and the righteousness. And they, well, that's not me. I'm not like them. I'm not like those people. And there's this kind of, there's this separation. They have no idea that the work has already been done. They've already been reconciled. Colossians 1:21 says, "This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he's reconciled to you. Sorry, he's reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he's brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." That word reconciled is past tense. It's already been done. So the sacrifice for sins has already been paid by the blood of Jesus. We know that, right? Do you know that God's already forgiven people for their sins? That's already been done. All that remains is for them to receive it. All that remains for them is to have a revelation of it and have knowledge of it, that they're no longer enemies of God, but they can be friends of God as soon as they make the choice to receive his love, to receive what Jesus already did 2,000 years ago. The work has been done. It's just a matter of receiving. So through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God has cleansed and forgiven and restored to himself every person on this earth. All we need to do now is receive it. And that's good news. That's a good word, right? If we're thinking about sharing the gospel, to be able to come to people and say, all you have to do is believe in Jesus and receive it. You know, you don't have to go and memorize the Ten Commandments. You don't have to go on a pilgrimage somewhere, you know. You don't have to throw out your entire movie and music collection before you can come to Jesus. You don't have to whatever, you know. You don't have to throw out all your clothes and only wear, like, you know, weird religious clothing. I mean, there's so many other things that other religions and other you know, religious groups, honestly, around the world, they have all these conditions about joining their faith or joining their religion. And we have such a great message to share because we don't have all those obstacles. It's simply, Jesus has done the work. Do you believe it? And if you believe it, you're part of the family of God. You're part of the kingdom. And that's very good news. Romans 10:13 talks about this. Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" So we can see kind of this reverse process here, right? That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." So people come to Christ when they hear what Jesus has done. But someone, you know, they have to be told. Someone has to go and tell them. And then the people who are doing the telling, they're not going to do it unless they're sent, unless they're commissioned. Well, every believer, every Christ follower, if you have a relationship with Jesus, we've already been sent. We've already been commissioned. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and this is at the Last Supper, the last Passover they share together. There's several chapters in the book of John where it's just the most amazing teaching that Jesus did, and it's so rich. And right in the middle of this is what Jesus says in John 17:14. He's kind of praying and speaking to them. "I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world." Just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. Referring to us, believers, Christians. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth. We've already been sent. We've already been commissioned. Jesus is praying and saying, I'm sending you. He's looking at his disciples as he's saying these words. I'm sending you into the world. Of course, the Great Commission in Matthew 28 comes to our mind as well. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." That includes all of us. You know, there's not only, you know, the people on this side of the room that they're there to go and teach and make disciples, and we're supposed to do something else, and you guys are supposed to do something else. That's all of us. That's all of us here and there. And this is our commissioning. So that, you know, that progression that we see in Romans 10, where how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe if they've never heard? And how can they hear if they've never been told? And how will someone tell them unless it's being sent? The first part of that's already done. We've been sent, right? We don't have to have any questions about that. We know already that's part of our job descriptions, this message of reconciliation, where God would make his appeal through us. We have already been sent. And not only do you have the right message, but you've been given Jesus' authority to go and tell the world about him. Tell him about his goodness. Tell the world what God has done for you, how he's changed you, restored you, redeemed you. You know, you can tell them, this is how I used to live. This is the things I used to struggle with. This is the things that used to hang around my life. And here's the new me. Let me tell you about the new me. And maybe the new me's been happening, or the new you's been happening for 20 or 30 or 40 years. That's totally fine. Now you have a greater track record of God's goodness in your life. You have a greater track record of all the good things that he's done for you. You should have more testimonies of his power and your goodness in your life. Amen. One of the questions we ask our children sometimes is, why didn't you do that? You know, a typical one in our house is, why didn't you clean up after yourself or clean up the dishes? Well, no one told me. That doesn't happen too often, does it, Christian? But it happens sometimes. Well, no one told me, right? And I think we have sometimes, us big kids can sometimes have that response to the Lord. Well, no one told me. Yes, you've been told. You've been commissioned. This is part of what God wants for you, is to go and share his good news. We have all been sent. That's what I have for you this morning. God's mission for us, God's task for us, is to awaken hearts. It's a call for all of us. And what are we sharing? We're sharing God's message of reconciliation, that no longer is the world bound up in sin, slave to sin, and unable to have a relationship with Jesus. But the message of reconciliation is that Jesus is for everyone. Christ, Paul says, Christ is our message. Christ is our message. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to talk over the next couple weeks, I believe, a little bit more about evangelism and what are some things that we do to prepare ourselves to share this? What are some of the things that we can teach ourselves and remind ourselves of as we get ready to engage in this journey to awaken hearts? But I thought this was a good start, and the Lord just led me to remind us all that we have been sent, we've been commissioned. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you partner with your people. We thank you that this message of reconciliation, where you use us to make this appeal to the world around us, so many people lost, without hope, feeling that they're trapped in sin, but yet we have a message of hope. We have a message of the love of God. We have a message how you love first, how you came and sent your Son, Lord. And so we just make a choice right now as a church family to recognize that we are the sent ones. We've been commissioned. We've been given the authority of Jesus. He has already sent us to tell the world about him. And we thank you, Lord, that as we let this message stir in our hearts, that thoughts and feelings that the enemy would try and bring, saying, well, that's not for you, or you're better if someone else did that, or they have a better relationship with that person, so it'll be more suitable, or, you know, they might think, they might get upset, or now is really not the time, or whatever the thoughts and feelings, because there's so many variations and versions that the enemy could bring. We come against those right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare there is no fear, no intimidation, no excuses that we will let enter our minds, and we will not yield to any thoughts or excuses or feelings that will pull us away and cause us to draw back from the call that you have for all of us. to share the message of Jesus, that Christ is the hope of the world. We thank you, Lord, that you're stirring and moving even right now. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we ask for revelation, Lord, divine appointments. We know that you work through divine appointments. And so, Lord, as we become willing this week, Lord, as there's a willingness that stirs and grows in our hearts, we believe and declare for divine appointments to share the gospel with someone else this week. We thank you, Lord, that your word is really clear, that you will give us the word to say, that we don't even have to think beforehand, that we don't have to have it all planned out, but that when we're willing to step into the moment that you've created, that you'll give us the words to share. You'll bring a scripture to our memory. You'll give us the response to make, and you'll give us the ability to be led by the Holy Spirit to usher someone into your kingdom. So we declare in the name of Jesus divine appointments this week to share the gospel. And we thank you for the testimonies that we're going to have, how you use us to share this message of reconciliation. I declare your favor and the blessing of God over Solid Rock Church this week. We thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that we heard today of your goodness, how you're moving in our lives, how you're a faithful God that helps us in the big things like finances, and you're a faithful God that helps us in the small things like finding a piece of paper. Lord, we thank you that you're wonderful and amazing and interested in all parts of our lives. And so we give you the glory. We say we'll live for you, we'll honor you, we'll walk in the blessing of God this week. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, be dismissed. Have a great week.